The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on January 14th, 2008, in Suva, Fiji.
So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 22.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Soyang samasta jagatam suhridaika atma. Satvena yan hridayate bhagavan vagena. Tenaiva mridishamanu prishatad yatahaṁ. Srakshyami purva vadidam pranata priyauso.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Let the Supreme Lord be merciful towards me. He is the one friend and soul of all living entities in the world, and He maintains all for their ultimate happiness by His six transcendental opulences. May He be merciful towards me so that I, as before, may be empowered with the introspection to create, for I am also one of the surrendered souls who were dear to the Lord. Purport. The Supreme Lord, Purushottama, or Sri Krishna, is the maintainer of all in both the transcendental and material worlds. He is the life and friend of all, because there is eternally natural affection and love between the living entities and the Lord. He is the one friend and well-wisher for all, and He is one without a second. The Lord maintains all the living entities everywhere by His six transcendental opulences, for which He is known as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma prayed for His mercy so that He might be able to create the universal affairs as He did before. Only by the Lord's causeless mercy could He create both material and spiritual personalities like Marichi and Narada, respectively. Brahma prayed to the Lord because He is very much dear to the surrendered soul. The surrendered soul knows nothing but the Lord, and therefore the Lord is very affectionate towards him. Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 9th Chapter, Text 22. So, this is a very, very special facility being offered by Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam. It is giving us the ways and means by which we can reconnect ourselves with the Lord. In our present state of consciousness, we are disconnected from the Lord. We become entangled within this karma chakra, birth, death, old age, and disease. Sometimes we think we're happy. Of course, that's actually an illusion. There is no happiness here. Sometimes we feel miserable. That's actually a more honest perception. When one feels miserable, he's more aware of what's going on than when he's feeling happy. There are actually three classes of living beings. Two of them are happy and one of them is miserable. Those who are in gross ignorance, they're happy. You see, they think that this sense gratification is the all in all. They think if I have a place to sleep, I have some food to eat, I have some sex pleasure, and I'll be able to defend it against the attacks of others, that I am happy. That's called illusory happiness. They can feel themselves happy. Yeah. There's another class, the philosophers, who understand this material world is a miserable place. They see the thorns on the rose. You see. They realize I'm being pricked by these thorns of the material nature. They are miserable. And there's the third class of those who are enlightened in Krishna consciousness, and they are truly blissful. So there are three classes. Two of them are blissful and one of them is miserable. So, which class is better of the two who are not Krishna conscious? The ones who are miserable or the ones who think themselves blissful? Who's better off? Most people would say, well, the ones who feel blissful, they're better off than the ones who feel miserable. But actually, the ones who feel miserable, you see, they are better off because they have a more clear perception of reality. You see, they have a beginning of an actual knowledge to know, yes, I am suffering. They have actually become human beings. Those who think they are happy in this sense gratification, they are animal. They are simply dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. They are not human being even. Someone who realizes I'm suffering, they're not a devotee yet, but they become a human being at least. Now he understands I'm suffering. And if he is very sincere to come out of his suffering, that Chaitya Guru, the Guru within the heart, he will appear before that person in the form of the spiritual master. Therefore we pray to the spiritual master, Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master who has come to me, whom in the darkness of ignorance he is forcing my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. So, that is the great facility being offered by Krishna, that he appears as the spiritual master to save the conditioned soul from his illusion, that he can be happy in this material world. People don't like to hear that. They want to think, I can be happy here. That's what the people prefer to hear. Yes, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. That's what people want to hear. But they're being cheated by that lying propaganda. It's simply cheating. Why? Because this happiness is nothing more than the combination of the senses with the sense objects. But that's not me. See, I'm not these senses. So how I'm being satisfied when the senses are being satisfied? Do you understand? If I'm not these senses, then how am I being satisfied when the senses are satisfied? I'm not being satisfied. But I foolishly think I'm being satisfied, that's all. Because I've been duped by the material nature into thinking that I am these senses. Just like someone may cheat you, you see. You may go to the bank and open a bank account. And then some conniving, cheating person, he tricks you into thinking that your account, what he does, see, he takes his account number and he gives it to you and makes you think that it's your account. And his account is actually your account. So all your life you're putting your money into your savings account. Actually you're putting it into his account the whole time. He tricked you. He switched the paperwork. After you open your account, he switched the paperwork. Someone scrupulous employee at the bank, you see. He cheated you. He gave you his account number and told him that it was yours. So your whole life you were putting your life savings into his bank account. And you're thinking that now I have so much money in the bank. I'm feeling so happy because now I can retire in style. You see? You're feeling so happy that I have all this money saved up. You see, that's illusory happiness because actually you don't even have a penny. That person has tricked you. He has cheated you. You're putting all the money into his account, not into your account. So this is exactly what Maya has done. You see. She has cheated you. She has deluded you into thinking that you are this body and that whatever service you give to your body, whatever enjoyment you give to your body, that is your enjoyment. You understand? You see? You understand? Does this make sense? What is the enjoyment? Because it's not us. I may please my tongue. I may please the various sense organs of the body, you see. But it's not me. So how am I getting satisfaction then? If I think I'm satisfied, it's simply an illusion. Because it's not me at all. If you want actual satisfaction, then you have to understand who you really are. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. And you have to engage in the service of Krishna. There's an amazing statement here by Srila Prabhupada. I love this statement. Prabhupada says, there is eternally natural affection and love between the living entities and the Lord. Eternally. That means everyone actually loves Krishna. Not just God, the conception of God, but actually every single living entity loves the person Krishna. Or at least Vishnu. But here it's staying Krishna. So yes, Krishna. Krishna and Vishnu are the same. So everyone actually loves Krishna. So all we have to do is somehow put them in a situation where they can remember their original nature. Recently in Dallas, Texas, one man, he went out taking a walk in his neighborhood. And something happened in his brain. Some chemical thing happened. And he went into a state of amnesia. He forgot who he was. He forgot where he lived. He didn't have any ideas in his pocket to tell him who he was or what his address was. So he didn't know what to do. He just was wandering for weeks and weeks and weeks, the streets of Dallas, living on the streets. Even though he was a wealthy man in an upscale neighborhood, he was completely lost. He became a street person, living on the streets. Until one of his friends drove by. He said, "Joe, we've been looking for you. What's going on? Get in the car. I'll take you home." You see? And then they were able to help him come back to understanding who he was by some psychological treatments, you see. So actually that's our position. Each and every one of us. We've forgotten that actually we're devotees of Krishna. And then we have a relationship with them in a particular rasa. There are five different primary rasas. Each and every one of us have a particular relationship with Krishna. We've forgotten that. We've foolishly misidentified with this lump of gross matter. Isn't it disgusting? Vomit, blood, stool, urine. And we think it's me. I mean, isn't it asinine? You know that word, asinine? It means very, very stupid. It's a good word in English. Because Prabhupada always uses ass as the symbol of stupidity. So asinine means one who is very, very, very stupid. You see. In Spanish, they have a word, stupido. Or stupidissimo, which means very, very, very stupid. Stupidissimo. So that is our position. We are very, very, very stupid, dull-headed, you see, idiots, to identify with this gross lump. If I gave you a bag full of stool and urine and blood, would you like them? Would you say, whoopee, I'll have a fun today with this bag of stool, urine and blood. Would you like them? But every day we get up and we think, I will enjoy today. You see. But what is that enjoyment? It's simply a bag of stool, urine and blood. And we think, I will enjoy today. You see. This is madness. This is insanity. Therefore, we have to hear from the great sages. Mahajana yena gatasya panta. We must follow that pathway of the great acharyas who are pulling us out of this illusion. We're wandering the streets of this material world and suffering from amnesia. But the great sages are like that friend who came by in the car and picked us up and said, my dear living entity, what are you doing wandering here? Don't you know that you're the eternal servant of Krishna? And you have an identity in his eternal lila in the spiritual world. Why are you here rotting? There's no sense. Come back to your original identity. You see? That is the mercy of these great sages. They are bringing us back to our original position. Now one should not try to jump thinking, well, I think I'm a gopi. Or I think I'm a cowherd boy. One should not try to jump. That is called prakriti sahajya. One who takes the process very cheaply. And the process is that you should simply become the completely sold-out servant of your spiritual master. That's the system. Simply understand that I'm the servant of Krishna and I'm the disciple of my Guru Maharaj. And I simply have to serve him. And through that service to your spiritual master and to Krishna, then in due course of time, when you are qualified, and only when you are fully qualified, then you'll actually be resituated in your original identity in the spiritual world. If you try to jump to it right now, you simply make a fool of yourself. Like one brahmachari in that long building in Mayapur. You've heard this story? Yeah. Devotees walked by that room and he was going around like a woo, 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 woo. They said, Prabhu, what are you doing? He said, I met one Babaji at Radhakund and he told me that I am a peacock in Krishna's pastimes. So I'm practicing my rasa. That's bogus, you see. Don't try to think, well, I must be a gopi because I'm such an advanced devotee. I must be a gopi. So at night I will put on a sari and I will go out to the forest so Krishna can come and dance with me. No. See, this is sahaja. Now simply be the completely sold out servant of your spiritual master. Completely dedicated with your every thought, with your every word, with your every action to please him in all ways. And in this way, you will be actually become qualified to go through all the various stages, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and prema. And you can come gradually, gradually, the perfectional state. Don't try to jump artificially, you see. There was one time a group of devotees in Los Angeles, after the Chaitanya Charitamrita was published, there were so many high-level discussions of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. So this group of devotees, they decided, they were called the Gopi Bhava Club. They just wanted to hear and chant about Gopi Bhava so they could become gopis. See, that was their idea. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita was out. I mean, that was too low level, you see. No Bhagavad Gita. Even Mangalarti was out because, you know, worshipping the guru, I mean, very low level. Tulsi worship was in, you see, because Tulsi worship, we pray to become, you know, in Tulsi worship every day we're praying to become gopis in our next, in the spiritual world. So Tulsi worship was cool, but everything else was out. No Mangalarti, no Guru Puja, no Bhagavad Gita, but so in this way, they wanted to make their own style of practicing Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was furious. He was furious. He said, first deserve, then desire. They were desiring that, oh, I want to be gopi. So we will just talk about gopi, Krishna kissing the gopis. Any other katha is not allowed in our club. You can't talk about the universal form. You can't talk about Krishna and Arjuna. You see, you can't talk about Krishna and the cowherd boys. I mean, that might spoil your gopi bhava, you see. You can't, certainly you couldn't talk about Krishna and Dwarka. I mean, that would be the worst thing you could ever do, you see. So they had this concocted idea, and Prabhupada said this would completely ruin our movement. They must immediately stop. He was furious, you see. But this kind of emphasis on Gopi Bhav is practiced by others outside of ISKCON, like that one who's in Latoka right now. He attracts people with that kind of, not Arveda Vyaspriya, but the other one I don't want to name in this Bhagavatam club. See, they push this Gopi Bhav type of mentality, which Prabhupada said ruin. They attract people, the stupid people, even ISKCON people are stupid enough to go there. They don't realize how much they're being misguided, you see. Prabhupada was furious. So, we simply have to stick to this pathway given by Srila Prabhupada. And then our lives will become perfect. That's all. Anyone have any questions? Yeah.
In the spiritual world, we have these five rasas. So is there any rasa superior, no, more, no, compared than our one superior than the other?
Yes and no. By, Prabhupada gives this analogy, if I can remember these. Okay. There's earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Within ether, sound is present. Within air, sound and touch are present. Within fire, sight, feeling, and sound are present. Within water, taste, feeling, sight, and sound are present. And within earth, aroma, taste, sight, feeling, and sound are present. Within the earth element, all the different things are there. So in the same way, within Shantaras, there's your Shantara. Within Dasavas, you have Dasha and Shanta present. Within the friendship, Shakyaras, there you have Shakya, Dasha, and Shanta. And within parental, Vatsalya, you have parental, you have friendship, you have servitorship, and Shanta. And within the Madhurya or the conjugal rush, you have conjugal, parental, friendship, servant, and neutrality. So from that perspective, the gopi position, that is the most complete, because all the rasas are there. The gopis can serve, all those different rasas are available to the gopis. But that's from the objective viewpoint. But subjectively, from the perspective of the devotee, it's not like that. It's not that way. Objectively, that's how it is. But subjectively, it's different. I'll give you the example of the flute. You see. Now, in the spiritual world, just like Jamuna Devi, Kalindi, you see, she's a goddess with a female form, but she takes the form of a river to serve Krishna in that way. Even though she has a human form, she also takes a river form. So that's true of every single thing in the spiritual world. The flute also has a human form, but he takes the form of a flute to serve Krishna in that way. Every single jiva actually is human, but they take these different forms for the pastimes. So anyway, the point I'm making is about the flute. The flute thinks that I am better situated. He is in Shantaras, or perhaps Dasha. He thinks that he is better situated than the gopis. Why is that? Do you even know why the flute thinks he's better situated than the gopis? Because the gopis only get to kiss Krishna every now and then. But the flute constantly gets the lips of Krishna, you see. So the flute is thinking, I am better situated than Krishna. So in this way, whatever your rasa is in the spiritual world, you are thinking that you are in a better position than everyone else. The rock is thinking, there's nobody more fortunate than me, because every day Krishna sits on me to take his lunch. You see? Every day he sits right on top of me and takes his lunch, sitting right on top of me. You see? So in the spiritual world, everyone is satisfied. No one is thinking, oh, if I can just be the pujari, if I can just be a Buddhist. No one's like agitated that I want a different rasa. But actually, Prabhupada does say that even if they want to change their rasa, they can. You see. There's full freedom in the spiritual world. If you want to switch rasas, you can do that. You're not locked in like a prisoner to a particular rasa. But generally they don't, because they're in that rasa because that's what they feel that is the best. There is no better position than this way of serving Krishna. I'm more fortunate than all the other devotees, you see. Every devotee feels I am in the most fortunate position, just like those queens in Dwarka, you see. Every queen thought, I am the only queen who's getting this much mercy from Krishna. The others, I don't know how they can tolerate it, because Krishna comes to my palace every night. There were 16,108 palaces. And Krishna expanded of 16,108 forms, and each queen thought, I'm the only one. Those other queens must really be having a hard time of it. So every devotee in the spiritual world feels that Krishna is totally mine. I don't know what the other devotees are doing, but Krishna is completely, totally mine. That's how they experience it, you see. So no one feels left out. Everyone feels they're in the most fortunate position. And now we can greet the Lord. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.